T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that heals and energizes the body while soothes the mind. Transforming the leaf requires a fusion of artistry, craftsmanship, and commerce. The tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts a global influence, generating $260 billion in sales and employing millions. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. An appeals court finds U.S. tariffs arbitrary and illegal. Tariffs also threaten the flow of India's exports to the U.S., and Riza tea is declared radiologically safe 30 years after Chernobyl. Plus, AVPA's Teas the World competition. AVPA's Tea of the World competition is a unique event that views tea not just as a commodity, but as a culinary product equal to fine wines and chocolates. Conducted by the Paris-based Agency for the Valorization of Agricultural Products, the contest honors excellence in both single varietal teas and herbal infusions. While winning a medal is indeed a mark of prestige, the real benefit is in gaining visibility, building credibility, and telling stories for small producers, especially those operating outside traditional markets. We'll see how participating can boost growers' reputations, connect them with new buyers, and showcase the health and cultural benefits of their teas, whether they win a prize or not. Joining us today is AVPA Development Director Sina Khalid. She reminds listeners that the deadline to enter is September 30th. An awards ceremony recognizing winners is scheduled for December 2nd in Paris. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
A U.S. appeals court has upheld the International Court of Trade's findings that arbitrary tariffs imposed on virtually every nation trading with the U.S. are illegal. The International Emergency Economic Powers Act, IEEPA, is not intended to grant the president unlimited authority to impose tariffs, according to the court, which delayed enforcing the decision until October 14th. The 7-4 decision threatens to undo a, quote, baseline, end quote, tariff of 10% on nearly every country in the world. The same results could be achieved via an extension of Section 232 tariffs, or President Trump could seek congressional approval for his levies. The Section 232 tariffs were imposed under a legislative provision designed explicitly for setting import duties. The process is more complicated and time-consuming as it relies on findings determined with industry input. Trump can also impose tariffs under the 1930 Tariff Act and Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974, which he has previously used to impose tariffs on China. Trump instead used IEEPA to impose more sweeping tariffs not tied to specific sectors. Judges ordered the lower court to determine whether the U.S. must repay billions of dollars collected since the tariffs were imposed in April. The government announced that it will appeal the decision and stated that it will reimburse the tariffs it has collected if ordered to do so. The finding calls into question several trade agreements negotiated under the threat of so-called reciprocal tariffs. Trump responded that, quote, if these tariffs ever went away, it would be a total disaster for the country. It would make us financially weak, and we have to be strong, end quote. What it comes down to is that the president's emergency powers are designed for emergencies, said one legal scholar. Steep tariffs have forced Indian suppliers to curb exports to one of their most important trading partners. A 25% duty on Indian imports to the U.S. announced July 31st was subsequently doubled effective August 27th. Following the announcement, hopes were raised that a trade agreement could be negotiated, and hope remains, but neither side has signaled a deal. The U.S. imported 17 million kilos of Indian tea in 2024. U.S. President Donald Trump raised tariffs to 50% to compel India to stop buying oil from Russia. Proceeds from the sale of oil to India and China finance the war against Ukraine, said Trump. The U.S. is a significant market for Indian tea, and the tariff impact is immediate, according to the Indian Tea Association. Exports through May were at 6.26 million kilos. Prices that averaged around $4.25 per kilo have ballooned to $6.28 as the wholesale price increases by $2.12 per kilo before retailers' markup. The impact of the increase was immediate as suppliers held shipments. An ITA spokesman said the tariff would be, quote, a limiting factor for exports of the beverage to the U.S., end quote. A year ago, Vadim Tea founder Bala Sarda was celebrating the brand's appearance on shelves in Walmart locations across the U.S. Sarda wrote on LinkedIn that for, quote, any entrepreneur building a business in the U.S., this milestone is right at the top of the checklist and a dream, end quote. Vadim is the first Indian tea and spice brand retailing in mainstream U.S. stores. The, quote, digital-first company reports that as much as 62% of its business is from the U.S. He told The Telegraph last week that, quote, the next couple of months are going to be very crucial. We have gone from 0 to 50% tariff in a month, end quote. Tea executives are concerned that the trade turmoil may continue, disrupting shipments for months. The indefinite postponement of bilateral trade talks, initially scheduled for August 25th, may be lifted. During a Senate hearing this week, U.S. Ambassador to India, Sergey Gore, hinted that a trade deal with New Delhi is a few weeks away. Quote, India and the U.S. are not that far apart, he said. President Trump has invited India's Commerce and Industry Minister, Piyush Goyal, to Washington, D.C. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said, quote, India is one of the top relationships America has today in terms of the future of the world, end quote. U.S. Trade Representative Howard Lutnick said, quote, we're going to sort this out with India once it stops buying oil. In the meantime, India is seeking a swift EU trade deal to avert becoming tangled in a demand that the EU impose 100% tariffs on both India and China. TBiz Assam based correspondent Rupa Goswami writes that Risa tea is radiologically safe 30 years after Chernobyl. For nearly four decades, the Black Sea province of Risa, Turkey's tea heartland, has been under the shadow of Chernobyl's radioactive meltdown. When fallout from the Chernobyl disaster drifted across the Black Sea in April of 1986, crops were blighted, exports suffered, and consumer trust was shaken. A new study published in the Journal of Food Composition and Analysis confirms that today's Risa is radiologically safe. The researchers emphasize how little systematic monitoring had been conducted since 2016 when cesium-137 reached its 30-year half-life. Their study, they say, offers a valuable baseline for both national and international food safety databases, which is essential not only for Turkish consumers, but also for export markets where Risa tea is sold. Quote, baseline environmental measurements provide critical information, end quote, they write. Analyses after nuclear events not only reveal the level of contamination, but also whether its impact decreases over time, end quote. For Turkey's tea industry, centered in Risa, which produces about 70% of the country's tea, the findings are more than just scientific. They help end a difficult chapter, rebuild trust in a crop that is vital to Turkish cultural identity, and reassure buyers from Europe to the Middle East that Risa tea is safe. The message is clear. For those who enjoy Risa tea, once overshadowed by nuclear fears, their cup is clean. This is the Tea Price Report for week 36, ending September 5th, 2025. Tea price takeaways. India, Retail inflation stayed low, softening pressure on domestic tea prices. Auctions at Kolkata and Guwahati tended to steady to softer, while direct estate purchases remained limited. In East Africa, at Mombasa, Sale 35 cataloged over 160,000 packages, PF1s and BP1s, with Goodleaf held firm, but nearly 34% went unsold, showing selective buying. In Sri Lanka, Colombo saw strong interest in seasonal uva teas, fetching premiums of 15 to 20 USC, while low grounds remained firm. Exporters remained cautious amid higher costs. And in Indonesia, Jakarta offered light volumes again with orthodox tea from North Sumatra firm to dearer. Direct overseas buying programs were minimal. That's your tea price report for week 36. For expanded coverage, visit www.teajourney.pub, tea price report. And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
AVPA's Tea of the World competition is a unique event that views tea not just as a commodity, but as a culinary product equal to fine wines and chocolates. Conducted by the Paris-based Agency for the Valorization of Agricultural Products, the contest honors excellence in both single varietal teas and herbal infusions. While winning a medal is indeed a mark of prestige, the real benefit is in gaining visibility, building credibility, and telling stories for small producers, especially those operating outside traditional markets. We'll see how participating can boost growers' reputations, connect them with new buyers, and showcase the health and cultural benefits of their teas, whether they win a prize or not. Joining us today is AVPA Development Director Sina Khalid. She reminds listeners that the deadline to enter is September 30th. An awards ceremony recognizing winners is scheduled for December 2nd in Paris. Cassina Hilib is Development Director at AVPA in Paris, where she leads communication and development initiatives. With more than 7 years' experience advancing AVPA's global contest, she champions recognition for agricultural excellence, including teas and herbal infusions, connecting small growers worldwide with the gastronomic community and broader consumer appreciation. Welcome back to the podcast, Cassina. AVPA annually awards more than 130 medals to tea and herbal producers across more than 30 countries. Besides winning a medal or receiving a certificate of merit, what are the tangible benefits of participating in the Teas of the World contest?
The biggest benefit is visibility, for sure. Okay. For many small growers outside the well-known tea market, it can be very difficult to reach international buyers or even be recognized at home. So being part of AVPA places their work on the international stage with exposure through press release, professional network, and events. Producers also receive a professional testing report on demand, which is the real asset. They can use this feedback to improve quality, adjust processing, or refine even their storytelling. And just being listed among the contest winners gives credibility that helps open doors with importers, specialty shops, and even chefs. who might not otherwise have discovered this tea.
The contest positioned teas as a gastronomic product, much like wine or chocolate. How does this shift in framing help producers communicate value to buyers and consumers?
When tea is spoken of as a gastronomic product, the conversation moves away from bulk pricing and commodity trade. Instead, it emphasizes origin, craftsmanship, terroir, and flavor profiles. The same qualities people already appreciate in wine or in cheese in France, for example. So for producers, this framing allows them to highlight uniqueness and culture heritage. Not just yield or cost. It encourages buyers as well, buyers and consumers, to see tea as something to savor and pair with food, which justify higher value and more meaningful storytelling about the tea producing and tea heritage, tea culture.
Many of the growers listening to this podcast are resource constrained. What does participation actually involve, from entry process to sending samples? And how does AVPA ensure fairness for producers of different scales?
So the entry process is internationally designed to be accessible. So we are trying to do our best to give the equal chance to everyone and to have the possibility to enter. Producers need to fill out an online form and send us the samples. It's around 200 grams. If it is a very small producer, there is an exception, so they can bring us even less than 200 grams. AVPA does not compare producers by size or volume in the tasting, but they compare the producers by taste and quality of their tea. Samples are all blind tasted, which ensure fairness. It means that a cooperative in Nepal or a small farm in Africa is evaluated on the same footing as an established estate in China or in Japan.
Can you share an example of a past participant who didn't win a medal, but still benefited significantly from the exposure and evaluation?
This is a very interesting question. Thank you very much, Dan, for this. The philosophy of AVPA is about to speak only about the winners. So we are not speaking about the participants if they don't want, if they don't ask us to do it, because we are protecting the identity of the people, and there is some they don't want to say that they participated and didn't win. Meanwhile, yes, for sure, we have the examples of producers who didn't want a medal and who could benefit from us as well. There was, for example, I will not say the name, but a small producer from Latin America who entered the contest a few years ago. The first year they entered, they did not receive a medal, but they asked the detailed jury note, and the detailed jury note helped them understand how their product was perceived internationally. They used that feedback to adjust harvesting and drying methods, and they send their tea next year. They won a gourmet medal and began promoting themselves as recognized by AVPA. That allowed open conversation with the specialty importers who might never have noticed them otherwise. Today, their teas are present in Europe shops, not because of the medal, but because the contest gave them legitimacy for telling their story.
The competition is judged by a jury that blends tea experts with culinary professionals. Why is that mix important, and how does it influence the way teas are evaluated and ultimately perceived in the marketplace?
To have two types of the jury, it's real AVPA philosophy, and it's the philosophy for our four contests, not only about for the tea contest. So we created this 23 years ago, and still we continue to manage like this because we are persuaded that to have two type of jewelry, the technical one and the gastronomic one. It's the real value added for the participants. So the mix is really at the heart of a VPA philosophy. The expert jewelry, tea experts, bring technical knowledge of cultivation, processing, and tasting standards. Culinary professionals, gastronomic jewelry, like chefs, sommelier, or just people who is working in tea industry but not already tea professional, they bring a broad gastronomic perspective. As well, they bring the knowledge of the simple client. I said simple client not to say like he is simple, but they are more closer to the market. Together, they help position tea not just a technical product, but as a part of a wider food culture. They input, influence how tea are described, how they might be paired, or how they can be communicated to consumer. For producers, it means their teas are evaluated in the same language buyers and food professionals issue, making it easier to connect with the new market.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of TBiz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the TBiz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.